Well, it's great to have Dan Scott with us today. And I told Dan in my office this morning, I said, I think this is one of the easiest introductions I've ever done. Because I feel like I know this guy. Though I don't know him real well, I feel like I've known him like for 20 years. I have been listening to him off and on for 20 years since 2001 when he came on WCCP on the radio. I guess the reason why is he's from Williamson, West Virginia. And that is near where my dad is, well, West Virginia is where my dad is from. My wife is from Parkersburg, West Virginia. And so he kind of sounds like some of my family. So I don't know if that's part of it. He's got that kind of West Virginia accent going on, but it reminds me of that. And then he grew up in a pastor kid's home. And so his radio show was always clean, so I could listen to it with the kids in the car at time or whatever if I'm driving around. And so I'm sure Christian knows Dan too. Seems like he probably knows him as well. But we have enjoyed listening to him on the radio for a long time. And the neat thing about Dan is, and I'm not going to steal his thunder, but that he gave his heart to the Lord and God changed him about 8 years ago. And we're really looking forward to hearing his testimony. But let me continue to introduce him real quick. He now is the voice of my wife and I's favorite team, the Furman Paladins, because that's where my youngest daughter goes to school and is a senior. But he now does their radio for basketball and football. And he also does the Greenville Drive baseball game radio. So if you ever listen to the Greenville Drive, you'll hear him there. He also has his own radio show, the Dan Scott Show. And he started a new ministry called Grand Slams Ministry. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that later. But it's just a great opportunity to have Dan Scott with us here. His wife, Angela, is serving in her church today, so she couldn't be here. But Dan, if you would just come and bless us today. We're thrilled to have you. And so come, if you would. Amen. Give him a hand.
Thank you, brother. I've had multiple people this morning tell me they were thrilled I was here, and my response was, I hope you feel that way when I'm done. When Lee reached out to me, I guess it's been about 2 months ago, about coming here and speaking, and we set this up, he said, and you do know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I said, yeah, that's fine, and up until 2 weeks ago, I was really amped for the Super Bowl, and then the Bengals lost, so I don't really care about the game tonight. The other thing, though, that as we were talking, I asked Lee, just, you know, kind of half-joking, I said, are you sure that you want a Baptist to come and speak at your church? And he said, I think the question is, are you ready to come and speak at a Pentecostal church? And my response to that was, look, dude, I'm from the hills of southern West Virginia. There's every denomination known to man there, so if somebody in your congregation showed up with snakes, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, I wouldn't stay, but it wouldn't surprise me. I am here to proclaim the one today that crosses all denominational lines, the one that crosses all political lines, the one that crosses every line. And that's Jesus Christ. In my, and I won't go through my what I'm currently doing because Lee, I think, wrapped it up pretty well. But I will say this in the interest of full disclosure, when it came time to find somebody to speak today, I was not his first choice. When he was trying to fill this opportunity, he said, I want to get the best, the most dynamic speaker that I can find. And he called that guy and the guy said no. So he said, if I can't get the best guy, I want to get the most entertaining guy. And he called that guy, and he said, no. He said, well, if I can't get the best, the most entertaining, let's at least get somebody reasonably good looking so we don't scare these people to death. And he called that guy, and he said, no. So finally, as I said, about 2 months ago, my phone rang, and Lee asked me if I'd come and speak today. And I really felt bad because I'd already turned him down 3 times. You guys are good. You got it immediately. This is a good, engaged crowd, so I love it. That is Grand Slam Ministries. There's not going to be anything else on that screen for about 20, 25 minutes, and then there will be some other things. But I'm going to talk about my testimony and how God has led me into this new ministry. As a launching point this morning, I want to share a verse of Scripture, Luke 2, verse 12. And as we go on, you'll see why this verse is important. But Luke 2, 12 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." Nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Now, as Lee said, I'm a preacher's kid. My dad has been pastoring and preaching for well over 50 years, and at age 75 is still going strong back in West Virginia. So you know he loves it when I do things like quote Van Halen in church, right? But there's a line in a Van Halen song that says, "Only time will tell if we stand the test of time." Now that's pretty deep, especially coming from a rock and roll band. But men and women, aren't you glad today that the one who truly stands the test of time is the one who transcends time? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, His Word never loses relevance. And the applications from the Bible are just as timely today as they were when they were first written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do this morning is I want to spend a few minutes sharing some thoughts on one of my favorite Bible stories and one of my favorite Billy Graham messages about the life of Solomon. Now, Solomon, as you know, was the son of David and succeeded him as king. And you recall that when Solomon ascended to the throne, God spoke to him in a dream and said, "Whatever you ask of me, I'll give to you." Now, he asked Dan Scott that, "Man, I got a list, right?" I'm sure everybody in this room does too, Lee. We all have our list. But to Solomon's credit, what did he ask for? Come on, folks, this is participatory. He asked for wisdom. Yes, thank you very much. And God, who we know always keeps His promises, granted that request. And because Solomon didn't ask for money or power or anything selfish like that, God gave him all of those things as well. So how smart was Solomon? 1 Kings 4:30, we read that Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and the wisdom of Egypt, which basically was the known world back then. Rulers came from all over that world to speak with Solomon because word of his wisdom traveled. They all came away from him mesmerized. The Queen of the South said that only half of Solomon's wisdom had been told. Solomon also became, as you know, the richest man who ever lived. The Bible says his yearly take in gold was 666 talents, and by some estimates, that's worth more than $1 billion in today's economy. He had over 40,000 horses. The throne that he sat on was made of solid ivory, covered, overlaid in pure gold. He built the most spectacular temple of worship that was ever constructed. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It took 150,000 men 7 years to build the temple. He overlaid the temple with pure gold, including the floor. Lee, you want to get your finance committee on that for the church? Yeah, exactly. He built incredible gardens. He ate the most exotic food. He drank the finest wine from golden cups. He was the greatest military leader in the world. No foreign country dared to attack Israel when he was king because of his power. And folks, in modern terminology, was Solomon a player? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And for you young folks in here, concubine is a biblical word for mistress or side hustle. 1,000 women to do his every bidding, sexual or otherwise. You know, I've struggled for 33 years to try to keep one woman happy. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. So Solomon had it all, men and women. He had it all. And you'd think that he would have been the happiest, the most satisfied person on earth. You'd think that, wouldn't you? But he wasn't. He was not. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you know that. Solomon lays out everything that I've just told you. He had every material and sensual pleasure any man or woman could want. And yet at the end of it all, what did he say? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He said it was meaningless. It was a bubble that burst. Why? Why was it meaningless? Because in the process of gaining all of those things, he lost the most important thing, and that was his relationship with God. So I read this story about Solomon and hear Billy Graham's message, and I find myself nodding my head in agreement because I can relate. And as we said a moment ago, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad, as I mentioned, has been a pastor and a preacher for about 50 or over 50 years now. And I always like to say it's the preacher's kid joke. Growing up, I had a drug problem. Every time the doors of the church were open, I was drug inside. I mean, some of you have actually never heard that before? Wow. And by the way, as an aside, I've got to say this. I'm a little taken aback by seeing people in the front row, because at a Baptist church, that row is usually empty except for the pastor. So. But I promise not to pick on you, except for Lee. But I had the proper upbringing, folks. I knew right from wrong. I saw firsthand what a Christian marriage was supposed to be. And yet in my own marriage, as a husband and as a father, I failed miserably. Over and over and over again. Sin ruled and almost ruined my life. Solomon's dad was called in the Bible a man after God's own heart. David was called that. Solomon, as we just detailed, tried it all. And I tried as much of it as I could. And I'm going to be as transparent with you as I can today. I had a problem with money. Over one stretch of about 4 or 5 years on the old talk show at WCCP, I was pulling in close to $90,000 a year. Now, it may not be a lot of money to you, but it was a lot of money to me. But almost every single month, we struggled to make the house payment. Why? Because I was wasting it, trying to satisfy that emptiness with things that I could find in the world. I drank too much. It's not a joking matter, but I used to joke that I got to the point where I was spelling drink with a U instead of an I. I battled an addiction to pornography that got worse and worse as the years went on. I cheated on my wife Angela multiple times, both physically and emotionally. Drug joke aside, the one barrier that I did put up for myself is I never had an actual drug problem. I tried marijuana 3 times in my life. The first 2 times did nothing for me. The 3rd time had such an effect that I swore I would never do it again. I had small town celebrity status because of my radio show. And believe me, that and the Clemson baseball broadcast lead that I did on the radio, and believe me when I tell you that I used that status to my advantage every time, every opportunity that I got. Back in late November, I was preparing to speak at a church in Inman, pastored by my friend Brad Adkins, and my Bible reading that day had me in the book of Jude. And I was going to share part of my testimony and talk about Grand Slam Ministries, and as I was reading, I came across Jude 1 verse 16. No coincidences. There's no coincidences with God. Here's what Jude 1:16 says. This is the New King James Version. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Folks, that was me, as I just detailed. I tried all of those things in my life, and yet nothing satisfied me. And you can go back into my childhood and start piecing some of this stuff together. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I was sexually abused by a group of older boys who lived in the neighborhood where my grandmother lived. Happened over an extended period of time until one man found out and he spoke up and he said something that put it to a stop. And I didn't realize it then, but it had a lot of effect on me as I grew up, and one of those effects was the way it warped my view of sex. But it also contributed to massive insecurity, an insecurity that plagued me all through my school years. And this surprises people because I do a lot of this now. God's opening more doors for me, and I'm very comfortable doing this, and I run my mouth for a living. But I still battle some insecurity today. For much of the first 22 years of my marriage, I was living a double life. I developed dual personalities. My favorite television show was MASH. Any MASH fans in the house? All over the house. I became very much like Hawkeye Pierce, the lead character. Loud, wisecracking, practical joker that kept the public persona here so nobody could see what was really going on in here. This was Dan Scott. And as long as people saw Dan, nobody saw Daniel. And Lee, this was going on that entire time you were listening to me on the air at WCCP. While Dan Scott was hosting the show and doing fundraising and impacting the community in positive ways, and we were in the 11 years I was on the air, this is no exaggeration, on my show alone, we raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity. Behind the scenes, Daniel was doing all that other stuff that we talked about. Living that double life, searching for peace. But see, none of it mattered. None of it filled that hole that was right here in my heart. And no matter what I tried, that emptiness was still there. And it was eating me up on the inside. To the outside world, I was a great husband and father, an upstanding member of the community. But see, they couldn't see what was going on in here. They couldn't see my struggles. They couldn't see that Angela and I weren't communicating. They could not see that I wasn't modeling what a Christian father looked like to my two daughters. I couldn't. They couldn't see the nights that I laid in bed actually crying, looking for a way out of the mess that I had made of my life. But folks, you know what's interesting? The Bible's always right. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets older, he won't depart from it. All of that time, men and women, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, I knew I was wrong. I knew I needed Christ in my life. I knew that I needed to change. But see, folks, Satan's devious. This ain't his first rodeo. And the way I like to describe it is he kept giving me rope. Some of you have heard that saying. And he'll keep giving you rope and keep giving you rope when you think you're having a good time. You want to go drink? Go ahead. You want to go mess around with another man's wife? Go right ahead. Here's some more rope. Do what you want to do. But then the next thing you know, he's taken that rope and he's got you bound hand and foot. And there's nothing in your human strength that you can do to break out of those bonds. And I used to have these conversations in my head with Satan. And he would say to me, yeah, you know, you're right. You do need to give your life to Christ. I mean, the Bible tells us plainly that the devil knows who Jesus is. He knows the Scriptures. He twisted them to try and tempt Satan, or tempt Christ in the wilderness. So he would say, yeah, you know, you do need to give your life to Christ. But in order to do that, you're going to have to tell your wife what you've been doing. You're going to have to tell your children what you've been doing. You're going to have to tell your church. I was going to church. You're going to have to tell your radio audience, your parents. Everybody's going to know what a fraud that you've been. Are you ready for that to happen? And unfortunately and sadly for a long time, the answer was no. But then God started working. Aren't you glad that we have a God who pursues us? And folks, when I say pursues, I mean he pulled the rug out from under me, cartoon style. I'm flipping head over heels. In a matter of just months, I lost the talk show. I lost the baseball broadcasting job. I lost my status in the community. My double life was found out by my wife and my kids. He exposed me to the world because he knew I wasn't going to do it. First time it happened was December the 23rd of 2011. Then my wife and I started going to counseling, and you know, it's funny how God works these things. I told her the only way I would go to marriage counseling is if we went to a Christian counselor. I wasn't a Christian. I don't know if I thought we wouldn't find one or what, but we did. We found a wonderful lady named Kim McManus who played a huge role in helping patch our marriage up. But in the next 6 months, I'd go to those counseling sessions and we would do what we did. And, you know, I would leave that and I would go drink, or I would leave that and I would call up another lady on the phone. You know, the first time it happened, I was sorry I got caught. But then on June the 9th, of 2012, it blew up again. And that's when that line of demarcation was drawn. Angela had had as much as she could take. My kids, as I mentioned, were disgusted with me. In fact, they both left the house. And my oldest daughter, we all have these moments that are imprinted in our minds. She storms out of the house, gets in her car. She's getting married 6 weeks later. Okay? She gets in her car, our driveway slopes down to the road. She got down to the bottom of the driveway. She slammed on the brakes. She flung the door open. She marched back up the driveway, and she put her hand in my face and said, "You can forget about walking me down the aisle." And she got in her car, and she left to go to her fiancé's house. Now, sometimes when I tell this story, I forget to say that by the grace of God, 6 weeks later, I did get to walk her down the aisle. So I had to circle back to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But as I said, God knew I wasn't going to tell everyone how I've been living, so he did it for me. I was on the verge, men and women, of losing everyone and everything that I loved. I had hit bottom. But you know, sometimes that's what it takes. Because I got so low that the only place I could look was up. See, that's where Jesus was. And when I looked up, he was standing there with his arms wide open saying, "Son, come home. Come home." And on June 10th of 2012, in my parents' living room in West Virginia, I did just that. I gave my life to Christ. And it's the best decision that I've ever made. He forgave me. He changed me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. He forgave me, and nothing Satan says or does can change that. And he likes to bring up all of that guilt of the past. And some of you have likely gone through that. But the Bible tells us that God has the ability to forget our sins once we confess them and ask for forgiveness. He puts them as far as the east is from the west. He buries them in the deepest ocean. And I hear people say all the time that, "Well, I know God has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself." And Lee, I just want to grab them and shake them. And you're telling me that your standards are higher than God's? Come on. I'm about to get wound up here. Now, I'd like to tell you that in the 10.5 years since giving my life to Christ that life has been trouble-free without a care in the world. I'd like to tell you that, but I can't. And don't let anybody kid you, men and women. And I'm sure you know this. Living the Christian life is not easy. And many people who claim the name of Christ are out there preaching an easy gospel right now, telling anyone who will listen that once you come to Jesus, all of your problems, financial, health, whatever it is, they're all over. Well, my life hadn't been that way. You know, Satan's on the attack. All you have to do is just look at what's going on around us. This country's more anti-Christian than it's ever been. Our values are under attack more than at any time in our nation's history. And some of the things our kids are being taught in school would have landed you in jail just a few years ago. Amen. Folks, we don't even know what bathroom to use anymore. Now, a couple of weeks ago when I was giving this, God put it on my heart that I needed to add this. Those are strong words. And they're certainly accurate words. But one thing that I have to say before we move on, we're not going to change anybody's mind, much less win the lost to Christ, by acting the way we see Christians, quote unquote, acting on television and social media. Now, we must tell the truth. We absolutely must tell the truth. But we have to tell that truth with love in our hearts. The love of Christ. Because too often we come across these situations, arguments, people getting after us. And what's our human reaction? We want to get back at them. You know, we want to throw some Bible at them, win the argument, and walk away. And we usually do it with a false sense of righteousness. But that's not going to win souls to Christ. We have to be willing to have real, heartfelt conversations with people. And we've forgotten in the world today that half of a conversation is listening. If someone knows that you care enough to listen, then they're more likely to listen to what you have to say in return. And remember what Jesus told the scribe in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment, Jesus said, greater than these. The truth, folks, the absolute truth, but the truth told in love. As a former pastor of mine used to say, that's easy preaching and hard living. But all of this work that God has done in my life is why I'm so passionate about Grand Slam Ministries. And I've got on my website, there's a couple of full talks that I give about how it happened. I, for time constraints, as they say on ESPN Classic, we'll move further ahead in the action this morning. I won't go through all of it, but I do want to tell one story. Last year, as we were putting this together, and it was a two-year process of me trying to figure out what God was doing in my life, and then once I knew, still dragging my feet because I did not want to repeat previous mistakes. But anyway, long story short, he's leading me to Grand Slam Ministries. He's knocking down all of these barriers, and it gets time to file the 501c3 online with the Internal Revenue Service, our friends at the U.S. government. And you have to remember, this was February of last year, 2022, so coming out of COVID. And on their website, they said expect delays of up to 6 to 8 months. My accountant told me the same thing. And they were using COVID as an excuse for the backlog. I think it's fair to say, too, that we all know that over the last 15 to 20 years, Christian organizations and the Internal Revenue Service have not been the best of friends. But just taking them at their word, 6 to 8 months because of the COVID backlog. So I put all the information in, put the credit card information in, and before I hit the send button, I just dropped my head real quick and I said, God, get this to the person who needs to see it. Hit the button. Remember, they said 6 to 8 months. You know, they approved that thing in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Our government, the kings of red tape. So if I had any questions about, is this where you want me, Lord? Is this what we're doing? That took care of the rest of them. All right, so what will Grand Slam Ministries do? SLAM is an acronym for Serve, Love, and Mentor. And I'm going to start by talking about mentorship for a moment. Men in our society today are being emasculated. And what we as Christian men have to do is lead young men to Christ and then teach them how to be strong Christian men and then teach those men how to be strong Christian husbands, fathers, and leaders in our church and our community. That same U.S. government, in the 2020 U.S. Census, says that if there's not a father or a strong role model in the home, that child is four times at greater risk for poverty, seven times more likely to become a pregnant teen, two times more likely to drop out of high school, more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to commit a crime, more likely to go to prison. And I'm here to tell you, as Christian men, we are in dangerous territory if we neglect these responsibilities. 2 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." There are men in our churches and our communities who need help. I've had mentors come alongside me in church and who helped me from the time I got saved, and they're still men that I lean on now. They're the ones that I first ran the idea about this ministry by. Our middle school and high school boys that we come in contact with need guidance, a spiritual guidance that's going to help them avoid all these pitfalls. I've had the privilege of speaking to the middle schoolers in our church a couple of times in the last year plus. Folks, they are a messed up, confused group. And I didn't know this until my own children, my two daughters, had gone through school. But they told me they ran into more nonsense in middle school than they did in high school. And I'll say this, I'm talking about the responsibility of men here today. But for you ladies, the responsibility is equally as important for you to mentor the young women and girls in your congregation. So mentorship is one. Helping children is one. Do you know that there are children right here in this community who leave school on Friday and don't eat again until they come back on Monday? Right here. I mean, America has its problems, but we're still the most affluent society in the country. And again, according to that same 2020 census, I don't know how well you can see that, but what that shows you is that right here in the state of South Carolina, there are more children living below the national poverty level than the national average. And that's in every single ethnic and racial background and category, none excluded. Our kids need food, they need other necessities, they need the basics that are going to help them have the chance to flourish instead of becoming just another statistic. And then the third tenement to this, and the thing that's bringing it all together, is the new radio show that Pastor Lee mentioned. I cleverly titled The Dan Scott Show so I don't forget the name. It started on January the 8th. The flagship station, 94.5 FM, The Answer. It's a Christian-owned Salem media station. It's not as much Christian stuff on there as I'd like. It's slipped into, like all of it now, more political talk. But at least Sunday nights from 7 to 8, we can do something about that. But I put that up there because that one FM signal reaches into four states. It just booms. Sunday nights 7 to 8 there. We're on now five total radio stations and two internet-only stations. So God is blessing this early on. I said we weren't going to put the show on the air until we could prepay the first year on 94.5. Started working toward that, praying about it. And you know, 2 weeks before the first show aired, we got a check in the mail that covered the balance. 2 weeks. Now, thanks to a friend of mine in Cleveland who nudged me with a financial gift, we had to step out in faith about 2 months prior and say, "We believe, God, you're going to do this." And there was some moments of sweating. I'm going to tell you, there were some moments of sweating it out. But I knew that if God ordained it and everything else that He had done, He was not going to allow it to dry up and wither on the vine from lack of financing. So I'm just praising Him that He did that. And what we're able to do now is we are telling stories on that radio show of God still working in the lives of men and women everywhere. The show that airs tonight is with an actor by the name of T.C. Stallings. Anybody seen the War Room movie? Remember Tony Jordan, the male lead? That's T.C. Stallings. So that's tonight. Last week it was Spartanburg County Sheriff Chuck Wright, who was an unabashed Christian. The week before that it was national comedian Jeff Allen, who was a self-admitted atheist, drug addict, alcoholic, and what God has done in his life. Before that, it was a former Major League Baseball pitcher named Brandon Puffer, who in an alcohol-fueled night found himself in jail charged with breaking and entering with attempt or with the intent of committing a sexual assault. Spent 2.5 years in jail, and what God has done in his life since he's been out, and how he's used that moment to transform his life and now transforming the life of others. These are the stories that we're telling with this radio show. God is still working in the lives of men and women everywhere. And those stories need to be told because you're not hearing them in the mainstream media. And it's also going to serve as a primary source to highlight the issues that we've just discussed, mentorship and helping children and drawing attention to the needs and raising money to either start programs or come alongside existing programs to combat these issues. So I want to ask you three questions this morning. Number one, do you believe that our teenage boys and adult young men need to be mentored and discipled on how to be biblical husbands, fathers, and leaders that God called us to be? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Number two, do you believe that we as Christians need to make a commitment to the children in our areas and beyond, making sure that they have food to eat, clothes to wear, and basic educational and electronic necessities to allow them to flourish? Do you believe that? And then finally, do you believe that God is still working in the lives of people today, men and women everywhere, and those stories need to be told? Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you believe it, then I'm asking you to come alongside Grand Slam Ministries and help. And there are multiple ways you can do that. The first and foremost, everybody can do this, is pray. I need your prayers. We need your prayers specifically for God's leadership. The first thing I always say pray for is that he leads and I follow, because when it's the other way around, things go bad quickly. You hear me? Anybody besides me experience that, or am I the only one? Okay, I'm glad I'm not in an exclusive camp there. More speaking opportunities, because I found out this is the most effective way right now to get the word out as the radio station or the radio show is starting to build its audience. More opportunities to talk with churches and share my testimony and what God has done in my life and how he's led me into this. You can pray for that. I need somebody. We need talents and gifts. Somebody who can fundraise and write grants. You know, you hear me say the word I a lot. I can't do everything, and it took me a long time to figure that out. I need some help in that area. And then, of course, financial support. God opened the doors to get the radio show paid for this first year. And now what we want to do is we want to expand. Our immediate goal is to get 100 people giving $10 a month and 100 people giving $25 a month. If that happens, I can get this radio show on almost 40 stations, just like that. Across the country, by the way, coast to coast. And then, of course, you can share the new radio show. The website is danscottshow.org. There's some information back there that Leah, I believe, is going to have the ushers hand out as you exit today. And I'll be around to answer any questions that you might have about it. And I asked Lee if it was okay to talk about the giving part of it, because I didn't want to disrespect anything in his pulpit. And he said I could, so thank you for that. Finally, as I wrap up this morning, I want to circle back to where we started today. I'm not standing here today, men and women, if it wasn't for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that Angela and I would be divorced, and I would probably be dead if I hadn't given my life to him. We began this morning talking about King Solomon. And at the end of Ecclesiastes, he said this in chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." And then in the final two verses of chapter 12, Solomon brought it all home. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Remember where we started in Luke? Nothing escapes the eye of God. And young people, if you're here today, and I'll let you decide what's young, 9 to 90, that's up to you. Nothing you do is hidden from God. Nothing. You can hide things from your friends. You can hide them from your family. You can hide them from your teachers, your coaches, your boss. You can even hide them from your pastor. But God sees everything. And I can still see my dad standing behind the pulpit in that small church back in West Virginia, time after time, all those years ago, saying, "Be sure your sins will find you out." And believe me, they do. And if they haven't already, they will. But you know the good news? God loves you. Jesus died for your sins, and if you ask, He will forgive you. He'll forgive those sins, and you can enter into a saving relationship with Him. The Bible says that He is not willing that any should perish, but He's not going to force you to come to Him. Men and women, Solomon had it all, but it wasn't enough. I was trying to find peace in all the pleasures that this world offered, but it wasn't enough. But what did Jesus say? He said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And He wasn't talking about the kind of abundance that we're talking about with Solomon, kind of excess, but Jesus meant a life of spiritual abundance, a life dedicated to Him that He will bless for your faithfulness. Society and culture today bombard us all, but especially you young folks, with the idea of gaining as much money as you can, as much power as you can, having as much sex as you can. The world says, go big or go home. But Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. The rewards of heaven are far beyond anything that this earth can offer. Anything. And Jesus will freely give you those rewards one day if you'll give your life to Him. And remember a minute ago we talked about how anti-Christian the world is? If you read your Bible, Jesus warned us that would be the case. And He says, follow me anyway. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." And then He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." He didn't say you might. Didn't say it was possible. He didn't say it could happen. He said, "You will have tribulation." But aren't you glad that there's one more line in that verse? "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So as I close today, my prayer is simple. That if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you settle that matter once and for all, right here, right now.